SummerSlam has come and gone, and if you want to catch up on all of the member-exclusive audio ProWrestling.net members got, including audio reviews of SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver, Raw, SmackDown, all the shows, head over to ProWrestling.net and sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. You also get ad-free access to the site, access to the exclusive .net weekly audio show every week where Jason Powell and a guest often break first-run news and talk all about all of the news of the week. For as low as $5.50 if you take the annual option, or if you just want to try it out for a month, $7.50, you could become a .net member today. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, what do you do with Asuka on WWE's main roster? So Jake, all the slams of the summer have come and gone, and I feel about a year older after Sunday night.
It was between NXT and SummerSlam and Raw and SmackDown. I mean, they do this, you know, a couple of times a year where it's just like by the time you're through it all, it feels like you've gone through an epoch or something. Like, it's just forever. I don't know how, you know, somebody who isn't absolutely, you know, obsessed with wrestling or, you know, talks about it on a regular basis like we do, gets through it all, you know, with enthusiasm. I have a good, you know, deal of friends that kind of casually pay attention to wrestling because they know how much I watch and talk about it. But like they question my sanity every time we go through this, you know, and I'm beginning to do the same thing where it's like like 4 days, like, I don't know, what is it, like 10, 12 hours by the time? I mean, I suppose if you watched every last minute of SummerSlam, you're probably inching closer to 14 or 15. It's just insanity. Like, it's crazy time. Like, I don't know how I do it or why I do it.
Which I know some people are listening to this going, I love all the wrestling and I love wrestling podcasts. That's why I'm listening to you guys. What's the problem? And I try and think of, and I think I said this on Jason's or on the Colin show with Jason on Monday. What casual person is sitting down for a 6 hour activity? The only thing I do casually 6 hours at a time is sleep. Like that is it. I don't watch 6 hours of one TV show more than maybe once or twice a year. I don't watch, two back to back Lord of the Rings extended editions. Like, I'm not about to do that. But SummerSlam, it definitely demanded that. But Jake, before we go on with this show, I want to issue a slight spoiler warning. If you don't want to be spoiled for anything happening in NXT, this probably isn't the show for you. We're going to be talking about the fate of Asuka and where she goes from here. And if you don't want to be spoiled on anything, turn the show off now. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sure we'll catch you next time. But honestly, they posted this on WWE.com today. Like, it's already on WWE's website. So, Jake, I don't think we're really spoiling that much, are we?
Yeah, they got way out ahead of this one to sort of put it on blast. And I guess that was probably good to some extent because it let them get the headlines instead of somebody else reporting it. You know, from their perspective, that's a win. But, it is odd to see them post something this far in advance.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder what order it's going to air in. Like, if that's going to be on this week's show or next week's show, because they definitely have done that before. I think Asuka and Nikki Cross was the main event of one of the NXT tapings, the Last Woman Standing match those two had. And even though it was the last match at the tapings, it was the main event of the first show that they actually put on TV. So there's that, at least, where I think they just wanted the tapings to have the emotional finale, but it's possible that it's this week or next week that it's actually on TV.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it I guess they're not limited by, any particular time when they can edit that stuff together in any order they want, but it's going to be, you know, a fairly emotional moment for sure. I mean, I guess I'm looking forward to see how it comes across on the NXT TV show because they, you know, so often that show is kind of missable that it seeing a major event take place is kind of special. So I'm curious to see if they get the weight of it correct in the way it's produced.
So let's start with that. Asuka, over 500 days as NXT champion, defends her title successfully at NXT TakeOver, which I wasn't expecting. I don't think you were expecting either. Like, I think we both picked Ember Moon to win and Asuka to move up on Monday or Tuesday, and that was that. She successfully defended the title, and according to WWE, broke her collarbone in the process. Jake, I'm going to be honest, I don't know that I buy that collarbone injury, much like the one that Ember Moon had earlier this year. And thus, today at the NXT tapings, we are taping this on Thursday night. I believe people are hearing this on Friday. Asuka handed over the women's championship and gave it up. And basically, they said William Regal now is deciding or negotiating whether she goes to Raw or SmackDown. So that's where we're at now. Jake, your thoughts on that generally? Like, how do you feel about NXT not ending that streak?
Honestly, I don't mind it. I mean, you know, I think it's a bit of a missed opportunity because, you know, Ember Moon could have had a big moment there, but maybe they didn't think she, you know, was the one. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say where, you know, their creative sensibilities lie at the moment. I do think it's quite fortuitous that the Mae Young Classic coincides with the champion giving, you know, handing over the title, because that leaves them open for some signings and an influx of talent into NXT and the potential.
Couldn't have scripted it better.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, hold on.
Wait a minute. Yeah. So, it's quite, quite the great turn of events for them. So I think that does sort of lean into the idea that the injury to Asuka may be, a bit of a work. And this is all in effort to allow her to go to Raw and SmackDown undefeated and allow an influx of talent in NXT to compete over a vacant championship. I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, from a creative perspective, and it also makes some sense for Asuka, who I think will benefit greatly from having the mystique of being this unbeaten performer on either Raw or SmackDown. And it certainly allows them to set her up for an extended run with either the Raw or the SmackDown Women's Championship. And you know, they can tell a long story heading into WrestleMania, to build somebody up for a big moment there if they would like to as well.
So do you think what they do with the title is as simple as the winner of the Mae Young Classic gets it? Or do you think there's a possibility of them saying the winner of the Mae Young Classic is in a match for it against one of the NXT women, say Ember Moon, even though Ember has come up short multiple times, or Nikki Cross or Ruby Riott, one of the other women that would be in that scene?
Yeah, I think the Mae Young Classic final will most definitely be for entry into an NXT Women's Championship match. And then they can have a separate, I don't know if you want to call it a tournament, but I guess a process to crown another contender and put them in that match. And maybe it'll happen at the next TakeOver, maybe it'll happen on NXT TV. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming we're going to see, you know, a major crowning of a new champion and hopefully the relaunch of that division with some new talent.
Yeah, I look at it and I think I would actually like it to not conclude with the Mae Young Classic, but to have that person get a title shot. They will be one half of that match, and then for there to be, it could be as simple as a three-way match or something, or a gauntlet, a Royal Rumble type of thing, whatever they wanted to do on the NXT side of things to make sure those women also got an opportunity to fight for that title. I think you could end up with a really great launching point for that new division, because Asuka leaving as the anchor of that division really leaves a large vacancy. She's been the anchor. It's been all about her. But you're getting, like you just said, an influx of women in that division. You're getting so much talent in there that I hope they play it right with the relaunch. But speaking of playing it right, Jake, Asuka is going to Raw or SmackDown. Right now, where do you want to see her go? What kind of what division do you think is more wide open for Asuka to come into?
I mean, in my head, I had always pegged that Sasha and Bayley would probably end up being the WrestleMania feud on the Raw side. And I still think that that's a strong possibility. But at the same time, I've been so, you know, and so that, I guess that idea that Bayley and Sasha would be contending over the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania makes me believe that she would be a better fit for SmackDown. But, you know, there's the other side of that coin is the SmackDown Women's Division and its booking has been so uninspired that you'd almost hate to see her put there, you know. And that's not to say that it couldn't be re-energized by her presence. But at the same time, you know, my confidence level in her arriving there would be, you know, is a lot more diminished than it would be if she were to show up as a surprise on Raw. But, you know, I think from a creative standpoint, you know, if she wants to lean into being this kind of tweener character that she had been in NXT, I think there's more interesting baby faces for her to compete with on SmackDown. So I guess I still think I would put her there, but I wouldn't feel 100% great about the creative process involved.
I don't think I'm going to feel 100% great about either creative process, having watched these two shows for so long. I'm on the other side of it. I actually think her going to Raw would be the better fit. And I've kind of thought that for probably about 6 months, simply because Raw does a better job of establishing the individuals in its women's division. As much as Raw ignores half of the division a lot of the time with Nia, Emma, Mickey, with them kind of sitting on the bench for a lot of the episodes of Raw, which is absurd and terrible, Raw does a much better job of giving you actual characters. And I think that's something SmackDown has missed in even Natty going into her title win. Like, I don't feel like I know more about Natalya than I knew 6 months ago. And that's a problem. Like,
she's the best there is.
And the best there was.
Yeah, that's about it. That's all we know about Natalya these days. And she's closer to the Hart family than she's ever been before, because now she's wearing a Hart Foundation jacket and a bunch of other stuff. I don't know what they're doing with her. But yeah, you're 100% right.
So I think Raw there, because Asuka is a really unique character. But my dilemma, the thing, and this to me, we started talking about it before we started recording, actually. To me, the biggest thing in this process is, what do you do when you bring her up? Because there's a certain sect of fans that are going to want, beg for, and be mad if you don't put Asuka in a title match right away. They want Asuka to come up first night on the main roster, win the Raw Women's Championship, and hold it for the next 2 years. Like, in their heads, that's what success is. And then there's another group who has never seen Asuka before or saw her on an ad, and that's it. They don't know who she is. They don't know what she does, and their first impression of her will be that first match against whoever it is, and they will not see the mystique that other fans read into her. They won't have that, and I think this is the hardest thing WWE has with a very public and well-advertised and well-attended developmental program. How do you transition someone from that has been at the top of the developmental roster to the main roster and have them purposefully take a couple steps back to take those same steps forward on the main roster without boring half of your audience? And I'm asking the question. I don't really know other than to say, guess what? Some of you get to be bored. Like, I personally, I'd put her on that roster and I'd put her on the Raw roster and I'd start stacking up the jobbers, and Asuka's going to defeat one. And if for a month, that there's an Asuka squash match on every episode of Raw. And then a month in, she's against two awesome jobbers, and Asuka's going to beat them too. And I would start telling the story of her as an undefeated machine more and more until you finally get to, well, now Alicia Fox is stepping up to Asuka, or, you know, Emma, one of the lower level women. And then Asuka beats them handedly. And she starts working her way eventually through the roster. But I would keep her away from the title probably at least until the Royal Rumble. I don't think I'd put the belt on her for a long time. Even then, I might even save it for WrestleMania and then do a year-long title reign with her on top. I think there is a lot to do there, but the first thing that needs to be done is kind of a restart.
So you're going to Braun Strowman her a little bit there?
Oh, I'd Braun Strowman the crap out of her.
Because that was his launch pad, I guess, for a while. Just beating the tar out of jobbers on Raw. But I think it could work. You know, I just don't know what they expect her to do. You know, is the expectation that she is going to carry a championship feud at WrestleMania this year? You know, I don't think you invest as much as they did in Asuka in NXT to have her, you know, on the main roster in the non-title situation on your big pay-per-views. You know, I don't know exactly what her path is to being there. Maybe it's not the first 3 or even 6 months, but I would think by the time WrestleMania comes around, she's going to be in the title picture somewhere, you know? I guess the biggest hurdle for her is still going to be, you know, the long promo segments, or I guess if you're, you know, maybe if she, and in a sense, you know, I think Raw would be worse for her in that regard, because they do tend to give the women a little bit more air on that show, and the expectations are higher for their promo segments. And they don't have
Shane McMahon standing between them.
Well, yeah, and there's not, you know, six of them sharing 10 lines, you know, in an entire segment. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we saw what happened with Alexa Bliss. You know, they gave her a lot of airtime, and her promos kind of fell off. You know, they especially that one with This Is Your Life promo with Bayley that was just, you know, the pits. And then they stopped investing in her as a character, period, when that flopped. And, you know, it was just a matter of time until they moved the title away from her. And I think that's what we saw on Sunday at SummerSlam. So I would hate to see her be put in that situation, because I don't think she's the kind of character that is going to succeed in that scenario where she's expected to talk at length, you know, to try to get a program over. So maybe a manager would be a good thing for her, but I don't know who you would put in that role.
Make a call to the Titus brand.
Yeah. Dear Lord. But, you know, there's definitely going to, they will need to be an effort to keep that mystique around her for as long as possible. And I'm, you know, part of me is very nervous that they will be unable to do that, because they've been unable to do it with recent call-ups, you know, like Nakamura, for instance. And we'll see how, you know, what settles out for Bobby Roode. But I think, you know, once they get past that initial sort of in love phase where a character, you know, just has this amazing entrance and has this immediate connection with a certain portion of the fan base because of their, you know, their previous work in NXT, like, what is the next idea for them? And that seems to be where the trip and fall happens for a lot of these NXT characters, because, you know, whatever limited knowledge that Vince and the other creative team have of what they've been doing with these characters in NXT doesn't always seem to translate to, you know, the future vision for these characters. So we'll see what happens when they're under the same kind of scrutiny that some of the main roster characters are, where they have to do something entertaining on television every week, you know, in the live TV world of the main roster, because it doesn't seem like everybody makes that transition very well.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Asuka isn't on TV every week for NXT. She hasn't been at any point. And will she hold up to that scrutiny? Can she? And what's it going to be? You know, the backstage and on the road environment on the main roster is different as well. And will she thrive as well in that as she has in NXT? She's moving on to the main roster as well, where Jake, her character doesn't have an endpoint. In NXT, there was always the logical, well, eventually she loses and loses the title. Or eventually she moves up to Raw and SmackDown and relinquishes the title. Like, those were the two logical ends that we were working towards in NXT. But there's no end to Asuka on the main roster. I actually think it's one of the great storytelling benefits of NXT that characters end. They leave. They go home. They go to the main roster, and you get new talent in so consistently that it makes it feel fresh and fun and new all the time, where Asuka isn't going to have that anymore. She will have to work against the same people almost all the time. I mean, she'll probably have 20 matches with Bayley. She'll have to work with the same people. You can only tell that story for so long. And who is she eventually after she's beat once or twice or three or four times? Like, when she's no longer the undefeated phenom, Asuka, what actually will she be? She's crazy talented. I do not think she will fail. I don't know that it's possible for her to fail, but I guess what I hope is that creative does not fail her, that the writing and storytelling and character building does not fail her.
It certainly failed Bayley, and she seemed to be as much of a slam dunk from a promotional standpoint as it can get. I mean, just from, you know, being so well-tuned to bringing in young female fans and having a sort of following of kids that made her different and made her marketing relatively easy. I mean, they see how they market, you know, John Cena to kids with, you know, big primary colors and very animated promos. And, you know, it surprises me that they fell down so hard with Bayley. It's almost like the people who were promoting her in NXT didn't communicate at all what made her special to the people who ended up writing her on Raw. And I think that there's always the chance, you know, of that failure happening with Asuka as well, because it doesn't seem like a lot of that translates, because there's a bunch of new eyes that are going to be watching her, you know, on the main roster, whether it's Vince or Kevin Dunn or a completely new creative staff. They have to fall in love with creating things for her in the same way that the NXT writing and creative team and production staff have done. And a lot of times that just doesn't seem to happen. You know, whether it's Bayley or whether it's Baron Corbin or whomever, you know, they just seem to fall out of love with these characters. And sometimes it has to do with, you know, nothing of their own fault. And sometimes it has to do with them, you know, having issues backstage or, you know, with their public personas or however you want to phrase it. But there has to be that love affair that takes place creatively. And then with the way that these characters have been presented on Raw and SmackDown recently, especially in the women's division, it seems like the favorites are easy to pick out. And I hope she's able to become one of those, because I think she's one of the most, you know, naturally talented female performers in the ring that we may have ever seen, you know, in WWE. And it would be a shame if it was something like character development that completely stopped her from reaching her potential.
Exactly. I think you nailed it there. And I think that's a really nice place to wrap up. I really do hope Asuka does well on the main roster. I want to see how this Asuka story, the story of her being undefeated, ends. I want to see how she transitions. I'm excited about it no matter what happens, and I'll probably be enthusiastic about it until I'm proven wrong. So finally, Jake, what's making you happy in wrestling this week?
You know, I'm happy that we got through the summer, because it felt like basically the entire WWE product was being held hostage for SummerSlam, and there were a lot of feuds that just weren't exciting as a result. And so I'm hoping that the reset button is hit here shortly, because we have, you know, just a few short weeks until they get to No Mercy or whatever the next show is. But I'm happy that we're through whatever that period was, where it seemed like there was 8 hours of television a week that had made no progress whatsoever.
Yeah, I am excited to see television move and new feuds start. For me, it is the assured feeling I get in my soul when I know that Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens is going to happen, and that nothing can take that from me. I mean, Oh, it's going to be so good. What if it's in Hell in a Cell, Jake? Like, what if they fight on top of the cell? How How is that going to feel in my heart, aside from fear for Shane McMahon's
life? I'm actually more excited about Kevin Owens' promos, because he is just so great at being a whiny asshole that I think it's just going to be some of his best work that we've seen from WWE, from him and WWE at least.
He was amazing at SummerSlam as well. You fall off of buildings. What are you doing? Why couldn't you see that? Like, just that whole... Like,
you fell out of the sky in a helicopter. What is wrong with you? Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we'll wrap it up, and I will let you go, Jake, I guess, to dream about Shane McMahon.
Fantastic.
That's what I'll be doing. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.